Hi, everyone. Welcome back to How I Got Through It. This week, we're releasing a mini episode because we got so many good, thoughtful questions last week that we had to answer some of these questions. So we chose three questions that ask about intuition and trusting yourself and how do you know when you're in a good love versus a bad love? And we really dig in. We really give you the best answers that we can find within ourselves to share with you. We're really excited every time we learn that someone listens to any of these episodes, but we're truly honored that you would want to engage and participate in this conversation. Buckle your seatbelts. Sage does not hold back in this episode, and neither do I. And welcome back to How I Got Through It. Sage, thank you so much for joining us for the part two of this episode. Some listeners have sent in some questions that I really resonated with, and I thought maybe for this episode, we can kind of discuss those questions if you're down to do that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Great. Okay, so let's just dig right in. The first question is, how do we know what we feel versus our neurology? And for people that are not familiar with the word neurology, this is a really complex subject. I have a fantastic therapist, and she always tells me that neurons that are wired together fire together. She says that when something traumatic happens in your life, that incident causes the neurons to be wired together in your brain around that experience. Another great way to scientifically explain it is the more you run a neural circuit in your brain, the stronger that circuit becomes. Sometimes when you have a series of incidents that happened, especially in your childhood, so many neurons are wired together around that specific experience, even though the experience did not feel good. And therapist also calls it repetition compulsion. It also shows up in relationships as self-sabotage and other things. That's a really complex subject, but a really, really good question. Kind of like a $1 million question. I think what she's asking is, how do you know when to listen to your intuition? Or how do you know that this is just what your brain is accustomed to and it's wanting something that's not good for it? Mm-hmm. So if you want to take the reins on that, or I can share some thoughts, up to you.
Yeah, I mean, I could just dive right into that because as you were speaking, a couple of different pathways started to kind of show up in front of me. And I was thinking about, okay, well, let's see how we can weave these things together. One of the things that I definitely can appreciate within human design is this whole focus on the body, really being able to listen and tune into what the body is trying to tell you. It's guiding. It has this embedded nature within it that knows this is the direction in which we are going in life. And essentially our minds find ourselves trying to like usurp control and be like, you know, I know where I'm going, and trying to go out in the world and trying to prove that. What I find is that when we find ourselves looping back into scenarios, for me, I see it as giving us a point of pause to be able to recognize, how do I actually want to respond to this situation versus to react? So I also think about the quality of these experiences as they present themselves, because if you have these neural knots that have been formed, essentially, just like fascia in the body, it is attempting to see how it can reach a level of homeostasis where this thing is not creating such a triggering effect inside the body, whether that is to be hyper-reactive or to be overly suppressive. And it's always attempting to find that middle ground. Even within, there is something within all of those experiences that is attempting to help you remember something about yourself. Because then you can find yourself in circumstances, let's say in relationships, for example, of any kind. Mm-hmm. You are meeting up with this guy and, okay, you have a good time, you get to know each other, you get into a relationship, and then bam, you feel like, okay, this person is not respecting my boundaries. And then you break up with them. Then you find yourself in a different relationship. And then you're seeing the same thing happen. Then you're like, okay, well, you know, some people may choose the pathway of saying all men are trash. as opposed to taking ownership within that moment to be able to say, well, I am the common denominator going from person to person to person to person, and I am the one that is constantly seeing this pattern unfold in front of me. They may have similarities, but it is your own unique expression. To be able to say, okay, if I experience sensations of abandonment and then I find myself in relationships where it feels like I'm being abandoned, so then what I do is I cut it off before the person can abandon me. I'm the common denominator making those reactive choices versus to be able to go in and question, why is this feeling or sensation coming up? What is it within how this person is expressing themselves that I am internalizing as abandonment traits?
Right.
And what is it within myself that I'm attempting to protect? What is it that I am feeling like, oh, this is something that needs to be guarded? And then feeling sometimes a sense of this other person is disrespecting me, but it may be a case that they are also in a space of self-preservation as well.
Yeah. And then just one other quick thing I would add. First of all, you're just a wealth of knowledge. Holy hell. Like, I just love this, the way that your brain forms thoughts. The other thing that I would add is I do use my feelings to some degree in figuring out what feels good, right? And that's how I know sometimes whether this is my neurology or whether this is my actual intuition. So for example, my intuition would never tell me to do something that harms me. I definitely think about, because I do sometimes think that everyone's brain, not just mine, but everyone's brain is like a mad scientist. And it's constantly telling you thoughts about yourself every single day, about every single thing in your life also, like your work, your relationships, your parents, everything, your bills, everything. And I just take a step back and I see what feels good, because anything that's good, that's your intuition, that's God maybe, that's the universe, would not say something harmful to you. Like, why did you just eat two bagels? It wouldn't be this like critical person that is judging your every move. It would be a person that would be guiding you towards whatever your path is or where the next move is for you. I also just like to sometimes, when these questions get so complex, it's this, is this my neurological patterns or because of maybe things I've experienced in my childhood or adulthood? Sometimes it gets a bit much and I just take a step back and I say, well, what feels genuinely good? It cannot feel like I'm doing this to protect myself, because that could be neurological, right? It just has to feel like a good effortless flow. And if I don't know what to do, I just don't do anything. I just stop. I just be still. Yeah. I wait a couple of days and the answer will come to me, and it'll come to me in a manner that is effortless. But if I feel anything close to fear, self-preservation, me wanting to take an instant action or reaction, I intervene before that
happens.
Hopefully that helps, Kim, that asked the question. Hopefully that helps figure out, you know, how do you know what you feel versus what is your neurology?
Can I just add to that? Just like last piece. Yeah. I just wanted to say, just remember, go with what's easy, go with what's simple. I think a lot of the times the current reality that we exist in aggrandizes hard, doing the difficult things, doing the tough things. And if it doesn't have a certain level of hardness to it, or pressurization, or things that really take us sometimes out of our flow, then it's not worth it. When really it is a case that you can do the easy things, right? Even if the easy thing is like, I don't feel like I have the capacity for it, go and take a nap. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, that's really the energy that we are allowed to embody. I think that we have kind of put the idea of complexity on a pedestal. And we validate ourselves based off of whether or not we perceive that we are unraveling the complexities and complications of life, as opposed to just going with what kind of just feels natural. Okay, this feels like an easy guided approach, you know, because as you would have plainly said, like, your intuition is not here giving you like these hyper complex mathematical equations to figure out. It's literally like, just do this. Or have you ever thought about it like this? That's it. Like, it's so, you can actually relax. So yeah, that's just my piece on that.
Incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much for adding that. The next question that we have from June is, what does good love feel like?
Oh man, I would say good love feels like being able to trust your body. Yeah. I really want to start with that. When we find ourselves looping inside of our minds and thinking that this is what love feels like, when really love is a sensation, it's something that you experience within the body and the mind is then processing subsequently after that. For me, good love could show up as eating hot foods that feels nurturing to my body. What good love feels like is for persons to be able to hold space for me and they actually listen to me. They're not trying to intervene and start to say, oh, well, maybe you should look at it this way. That's what another thing for me, good love feels like, where people give me the space to be able to unfold myself. Good love feels like touch. It's not aggressive with me. It is a firm, it's a holding, it's just being able to be close by. For me, that's what a lot of good love tends to show up as. And everybody is different. And you have to get really curious about how your love expressions actually show up. Starting with the love languages, looking at that, does it show up as a person that wants to have quality time with you? And within that sharing of space, they decide to put their phone on airplane mode so that there's no disturbance and it's just you and me. That could be another level of how that actually shows up, because you can be in the same space, but is your attention on you or are your attention scattered in a lot of different directions?
Right, right. For me, good love also feels like you're being cherished regardless of what that relationship is, if it's with parents or friends or a romantic partner. I think it starts with you being cherished, wanted, and cared for. Those are really what I start with, because every relationship is different and I kind of really cater my responses to the person also that I'm with. And I really take it on an individual basis, but I do love the idea, and I do this with every relationship. I do bring my whole self to that relationship. I don't want to give another person a half version of myself or a version of myself that is fueled by fear and trauma and sadness and bad experiences and baggage. I don't bring that into any relationship. And if I do, I recognize it in myself and I say, okay, let me just stop for a sec and regroup and explain. Sometimes going back to that neurology thing, if the situation calls for it, I'll even explain my neurology to a person so they know that's how I bring my whole self. So they understand holistically who I am in that relationship. So I love the idea of starting with being cherished, being loved, being wanted. That all feels really good to me. And then bringing your whole self to every single relationship. The next question, which is a big one also, is how do we know to trust ourselves when we have trusted ourselves before and it did not work out?
Do you want to start?
Oh, geez. I mean, yeah, this is a big question. If my precious mind could have figured out that question, I would have saved myself a lot of drama in my adulthood, I think. How do I trust myself? I think I check in with myself. I use my intuition. I see what feels good. I love myself. What I've been doing is adding certain actions in my day that bring me to a point of self-love. I love riding bikes. I've only been doing it for like a year and a half, but something about writing makes me feel so free when I've got my AirPods on and I'm writing and I'm looking at the greenery around me. That makes me feel really happy, really good. And it also feels like I'm giving back to myself, giving back to my essential nature. The other thing that I like doing is meditating. I love having these conversations with you. I love cooking a good meal for myself and cooking for others. I love doing things for others, making breakfast, that type of thing. So those types of acts allow my self-love to be harnessed. Therefore, when it comes time to make decisions and to trust myself, my intuition really shows up because it's been loved for like 5-6 days in a row, right? And it's kind of like I'm watering a plant, which is myself. I am watering who I am, essentially my nature, me, the things I love about myself. So when that time comes to make a decision, I find that my intuition really blooms, it really flourishes, and it really nudges me in the right direction. I also use the thought process of not listening to my mind, but listening to a place that is perhaps my conscious.
Right.
Because your mind always tries to work out your problems. It is here to fix all the things, you know, in your life. It is like, maybe you should invest in this thing versus this, or maybe you should cut this person off or start talking to this person, or maybe you should go here for the summer or travel here. It's always trying to work out things in every single area of your life. And that's the nature of your mind. But there's a place I think that's below my mind, or maybe it's above my mind. I'm not sure where exactly it is. I actually think it's in my stomach. It's my gut. The place where I believe pure guidance for myself comes through. And the way I also harness that is every morning I get up and I ask, I'm like, God or the universe or whoever you believe in, whatever name you call it, you don't even have to call it a name, but I just ask that it comes through that space. That's all. And I think that that is how I learn how to trust myself again. And there have been times when I think maybe I have trusted my mind and it didn't work out. But I do know that when I remove the fear, when I remove the monkey mind that's trying to figure things out, a good, clear guidance of not what's going to happen 5 years from now, but what the next right move for me is.
Yeah.
And I act from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh, man, yeah, that's it, right? I was actually a bit entranced by what you were saying just now. You've really painted a picture for me. And what was flowing through my mind is to recognize that you're going where you're going, so you might as well enjoy the ride. Even within that whole space of trying to figure out whether or not to trust yourself, that is a moment-to-moment experience. I think we sometimes find ourselves in the idea of the extremes or the absolution of things. So it's like I had a moment where I thought I was doing what I needed to do and it didn't work out. And then you may perceive that as I've lost faith or I've lost trust in myself. But then sometimes it's necessary to kind of zoom out to be able to see, well, how did that actually tie into the grand scheme of things? And it usually takes time from that point in which it happened for you to be able to look back and to be able to know, oh, actually, this worked out the way that it needed to. Right. Because if it didn't happen this way, I wouldn't be where I am currently. Then you wouldn't be where you are now. It's just being able to be the observer of your own life. And that is, I feel, how you can start to regain a certain level of trust within yourself. And as you would have plainly put as well, being able to do a lot of things that make you feel good can support that trusting space. Oh, I actually trust my body to go for this ride on the bike. And then I did it again. And then I did it again. And then I skipped a day and then I just took a nap. But in all of those things, I felt like I was actually there for myself. Then that builds a sense of trust so that you are more empowered in moments that may feel a bit stickier or feel a little bit more intense, that you're able to actually breathe through it, pause, and choose how you're going to respond in a way that feels a lot more aligned. I think that what happens as well is we lock into, again, our mind, trying to figure out things and trying to fix things and trying to be in control of things.
Yeah.
That, oh, I told this person no, and now suddenly I feel like I can't trust myself because that person stopped talking to me. Well, maybe it was always supposed to be a case that you were meant to break away.
Yeah.
So that your attention can be redirected to where it feels most correct. And the same thing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the last thing I would add to that is don't keep score. Like trusted your mind before or your body before and it seemingly didn't work out. And you don't know that yet because you don't know the end of the picture or the end of how anything will turn out. But don't keep score because you don't know the outcome, the final outcome, and why this chapter is in your book right now, you know, or why this is unfolding in your life right now. I would say have grace with yourself. You said it perfectly. Enjoy the ride. And when you get into like a negative part of your day or way of your day, I talked about like doing things in my day and actions in my day that makes me feel really good. But I realize that not everyone is like that. And if you get into a loop of, which is you're constantly criticizing yourself, just calibrate a little bit, just change a little bit. You don't have to change the whole thing. Just change a little bit day by day. And I promise you that your intuition will show up for you because that is its purpose and that is what it's here for. And then you start living a different life and then you start living from a different place. And life can actually be super enjoyable when you do it that way. I think that's a fantastic end to this mini episode. I am so excited that we were able to answer some of these questions. I never thought I would start this podcast and people would have follow-up questions. It is also a great testament to that we are all more alike than we are different, that we are all going through similar or the same things and not sure how to navigate it, not sure how to handle it. And even Sage and I, we don't know either. We just trial and error, and we have learned some things through the process. Thank you again for listening another week, and we will be back next week for another episode. Thanks a lot, Sage.
Yeah, most welcome. Thank you.